Before the break, we heard about the ongoing war in Russia raging against Ukraine. And as of last Thursday, newly arrived Ukrainians will only be granted state accommodation for 90 days. And there are fears they'll end up on the streets or in a similar situation to the 200 or so men who'd been living in Mount Street, at least up until this morning. Now, Senator Mary Fitzpatrick, we're hearing that tents have been moved in the last few hours because of the weekend that's in it. The men have been offered accommodation in Crooksling in the Dublin Hills, but it's tented accommodation. We believe at least that it's effectively people are being asked to pitch their own tents on the side of a hill. Is this cosmetic because it's St. Patrick's Day weekend?
Well, I don't know is the honest answer to that question, Colm, but the reality of it is that it is completely unacceptable for anyone coming to our country seeking asylum or refuge to be accommodated in a tent on the side of a street. Like, it's just, it's not good for them individually. It's not safe. It's not healthy. It's completely unacceptable. I'm glad to hear that if it's the department, if it's IPAS, if it's City Council, if it's all of them together, have taken action to accommodate the refugees properly. That's to be welcomed. It needs to be, though, not a temporary. Like, I mean, it can't be that they've just moved them because there's a parade coming through town tomorrow. That's unacceptable.
I suppose it begs the question, if they're moving from tents, ad hoc pitch tents, to ad hoc pitch tents,
That's not a solution.
What's the difference, though? Why move them? I mean, at least in the city centre, they have some access to amenities, things they can do.
Well, they don't have access to toilets. They don't have access to, proper hygiene facilities. They don't have access to cooking facilities. I am assuming that in moving them, they are being moved to facilities that are more secure, that are safe, that are dry, that are warm, that have hygiene facilities, that have cooking facilities, that have food, that they can be properly supported from a welfare perspective. They would be all of the minimum requirements that we would expect and should expect that refugee and asylum seekers are provided with.
Right. Is it a coincidence, though, on St. Patrick's Day weekend that they're being got out of sight?
You'd have to ask the people who took the action that question. I can't answer that question. All I can tell you is that from my perspective and my party's perspective, this is an issue that we have been raising with the department, with the minister for a number of weeks now. I'm glad to see some action, but it can't be an overnight action. Like, it can't be just till Monday morning. That's not acceptable. That's not a solution.
I mean, even for the modular accommodation, contracts are quite expensive. We've heard the figure of 17 million to repurpose Bagot Street Hospital around the corner from Mount Street to put it into use. It's owned by the HSE. It hasn't happened. With an estimated cost of 17 million, that's surely not a huge price to pay to have somewhere that's central, that's near the International Protection Office, that could be used. Why isn't it happening?
You'd have to ask the HSE that question, Colm. All I can tell you is this, that I don't believe money or funding is the issue. We've accommodated 26,000 refugees and asylum seekers.
But if it's not, then is it political will or is it grip?
Well, I don't think it's political will, certainly not on my party's part. I mean, our view is that people coming here seeking asylum, seeking refuge, need to be treated with dignity. They need to be treated, with a humanitarian approach. And we have responded. I think, you know, by any standards, as a country, having taken in over 100,000 Ukrainians, having taken in 26,000 refugees and asylum seekers, as a country, we have stepped up to the plate. What was allowed developed, or what developed on Mount Street, was wrong. It was unacceptable to us. I'm glad to see that action has been taken to resolve it. I want that action, though, to be a permanent.
Right.
It can't be that a solution for people arriving seeking refuge are handed a tent and a sleeping bag.
Well, we've got a couple of messages so far of people who are advocating for these people who were in tents on Mount Street, and they're being contacted and say that some of the people who've arrived out in Crooksling are actually making their way on foot back to the city centre because the site isn't adequately serviced.
That's very disappointing to hear. Yeah. That would be very disappointing to hear. And as I say, you know, the news, we've just got the report of this, so I don't know the details of the arrangements in Crooksling. But if that is the case, then that needs to be corrected. That needs to be addressed immediately.
All right, Kathleen Funchen. People being cleared out of the city centre for St. Patrick's Day. Irish, both your party and the government going around the world selling the good news story about Ireland. Is there an element of scrubbing up Dublin City as a bit of a Potemkin village for the weekend? Or what do you think is behind this move?
I would, the cynical part of me does think that, it's no coincidence that it's St. Patrick's weekend and there will be huge focus on the parade and everything that happens in the city tomorrow. And now all of a sudden, another temporary situation, which, as I say, I don't know where exactly it is or what the facilities are, but it sounds certainly like it's not adequately serviced, and it sounds like as well like it's more isolated. I think this shows that, and we've been saying this for so long now, and I think I was saying to someone earlier, every time we talk about this, I feel like I say the same thing because the issues are still the same. It's total chaos and total disorganisation within that department. And there is far too much in the department. And honestly, when you try to get information on something, literally the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Like, I can tell you now for a fact that there is accommodation in my constituency, turnkey, ready to go, that was supposed to be used. And then the department said, sorry, we don't need this now. Now, those are rooms in houses ready to go for people to move in right now. So why are they saying they don't need this accommodation? It's there. It's ready.
Sorry, just in terms of being absolutely clear, you're saying that the department said they don't need it. Did you get the correspondence from the department that said they didn't need it, or how did you come to that view?
I've heard that from the people who were willing to provide the accommodation, and I don't have any reason to doubt them. Their accommodation's ready. I know as well myself where the accommodation is. I know it's good and it's proper, decent accommodation. And I think that just shows you that there is really a sense of nobody is in charge, nobody knows what's happening and what's going on. And I think that it has led to this really horrific situation for people, which is obviously totally unacceptable. But it would be really nice if we could see a proper interdepartmental group set up between housing, health, education, and of course then the Department of Children, which covers children, equality, disability, integration and youth. The key is in the title there. There's far too much, and it has led to chaos, and we're potentially going to see somebody's life being put in jeopardy.
Marian Harkin, the continued accommodation of people in tents, the sheer number of them, 1,300 at this stage, and the cutting of benefits now to people arriving from Ukraine. If you're to take all the pieces together, whether it is coordinated or it isn't, it looks like a deterrent policy.
I think there is an element of truth in that. But to be honest with you, Colm, I agree with the government's stance on Ukrainian refugees. I think they should have taken this stance earlier. We were way out of line with our European counterparts. They're refugees. We owe them shelter and safety. But
do you agree with the 90-day limit?
Yes, I do, because right now, what are we talking about? We're talking about several hundred people in tents on the streets of Dublin.
And do you agree when that...
Colm, you and I know...
Do you agree that when that 90 days is over, that Ukrainian refugees should then be put into competition with people seeking private rental accommodation, often looking for a landlord who'll take HAP?
Colm, if you can come forward with another solution, because the truth is...
But with respect, even, my job is to
I need
ask
to
questions.
Answer your question.
Your job is to come up with policy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I'm saying is, I agree with that, because what we're doing is we're giving temporary respite to people who are fleeing war. We are not right now in a position even to manage the several hundred people who are in tents on the streets of Dublin. And we all know that if right now all of those people were to be accommodated in serviced accommodation, that in another 2 to 3 months, we would have the same situation again.
So you think the better the accommodation, the more humane the government acts, the more the pull factor is there for people to come here? Is that it?
You said I was to answer questions, not for you to put words into my mouth. I don't think that. I think we have to manage the situation as the best we can, and we can do better. But to say that we can accommodate all of those people who come from Ukraine, plus all of those people who come for international protection, that we can manage all of that.
All right.
It's just, it's not happening. It's not possible. Can I just say one other thing, Colm? We need to look at this from a wider perspective. We need to immediately streamline our process for assessing asylum claims, and we need to work with our European counterparts, because this isn't just an Irish issue, it's a European issue. And we have to be humane, we have to be decent, but equally, we can only stretch the elastic so far.
All right. Kathleen Funchen, what Marian Harkin is saying there, she agrees with the government stance, agrees with the reduced welfare benefits and agrees with the 90-day limit. Do you agree with that?
So I think when the situation first started in the Ukraine, when the war first, when Russia invaded Ukraine, there obviously was an emergency response and that was needed. I do think it is wrong to create a two-tier situation in terms of access to medical card and access to the varying rates of social welfare. So we have a lot of people who are in direct provision centres for years in this country who, you know, would love the opportunity to work, who have very good skills, by the way, that we potentially need in this country as well, and that they rightly feel that they were treated differently. So I think that needs to be that needed to be rectified. And I understand that initially you need to have a response and you kind of need everyone to row in behind it. However, I would have serious concerns about the 90 days. First of all, I think there needs to be a proper audit done of what accommodation is there. As I said in the earlier response, I know of two places, but there is a huge amount of people that pledged, you know, rooms in their own accommodation. I think we need a proper audit of that to see what exactly is available. I know certainly housing is the number one query that we deal with in my own office. And often it's a range of housing issues.
So just to be clear, you would hold off on the 90-day limit, is it, until there's an audit done of what's available, is it?
And I think we need to have, this okay. is where...
Can so
I
yes say, to the social welfare, no to the 90-day limit at
yeah,
this
and
stage.
Yeah, I just need to add to
very
that.
Very briefly, if you
yeah,
could,
yeah. Because the problem is that there hasn't been a plan, and it has been chaos for the past 2 years. And because of that, we are in this situation. But I think you can't just say people fall off a cliff edge after the 90 days. What do people think is going to happen? Where are they going to go after that? And there's such a lack of rental. Even if you're not getting HAP or any rental supports, it's so difficult. We spend so much of our time trying to find rental accommodation,
okay,
as well as all the other housing, that I think it's really going to put serious pressure on people.
Okay, well, a spokesperson for the department says, this is of the Sagart site out at Crooksling, that there are toilets and showers and full security. A minority of the men did leave after arriving this morning, but some of that group has returned. That's according, as we say, to a spokesperson for the department. Mary Fitzpatrick, the combination of people remaining in tents, even notwithstanding the provision of basic sanitary facilities at Crooksling, people are still in tents. There's a cutting of the benefits. It looks like the government is operating a deterrent policy, is it?
Well, the vast majority of people are not in tents, Colm. The vast majority of people have been accommodated. Over 100,000 Ukrainians have been accommodated and 26,000 international protection refugees. However, there are a small number of people in tents, and as I said earlier, that's unacceptable.
But would you have any fears that after 90 days for Ukrainian people, more people might end up in tents?
Well, I think the situation is an evolving situation. I think with the Ukrainians, and it's important we don't conflate the two, that the Ukrainians are granted immediate temporary permission to reside. They're treated as if they are European citizens. Most of the Ukrainians, have really integrated very
well
into
our communities. Would it be more correct to say they were treated as if they were European citizens? Because at the moment, their welfare rates, the plan is...
Well, actually, if you were a German or an Italian, you arrived in Dublin, you wouldn't be given any accommodation.
I suppose
okay?
that's not so, the point. So, if an EU citizen arrives in Ireland, they're entitled
but
to
in this,
full benefits.
But what? And Ukrainians are entitled to work. Ukrainians are entitled to go to school. They're entitled to go to college. They're entitled to go to work. They
so
will
the
be
reduction is to price
things.
In the accommodation, is it?
No. Actually, very importantly, what we're saying is that we will continue to support Ukrainians who are fleeing war. We will continue to provide them with accommodation. We will support them in those 90 days to integrate, to reconnect with families, with friends, with networks that are already established here. And we will provide them with financial support in the form of housing assistance payment to secure permanent accommodation. I was a migrant myself, Colm. I went abroad. I know what it takes to actually have to go to a country, start from scratch, find a home.
Where did you go?
Find a job. I went to the States, and before that, I went to Germany and Italy.
Okay.
And can I just say, no, Colm, it is an important point that the faster people can integrate into the community, find work, go to school, the more successful the experience is for them.
We do have to take a break. We're back. We're going to hear from the Russian ambassador after this on the election in Russia, the war in Ukraine and relations with the Irish government.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.